People are always asking what they can do to help Israel, but we've got a way to help Israelis while saving money for your business. Consider Chosen Staffing. Our team members are Anglos trained by some of America's most successful corporations. All of this is done at a fraction of the cost you can hire someone for elsewhere. Your clients will never know that your virtual support team is here in the Holy Land. Please call us at 914-613-3436. Again, 914-613-3436. Chosen Staffing.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and IsraelNationalRadio.com present The Tamar Yonah Show. Here's Tamar Yonah.
All right, the news is still, people are still talking about the prize given out by the Nobel Prize Committee to the President of the United States, Barack Hussein Obama. People are still scratching their heads about it. So we're going to explore that a little bit more today with an expert, someone who is an expert on narcissism. And he believes that President Barack Hussein Obama is indeed a narcissist, like many other leaders throughout history. And he's going to be delving into that topic and what it means to reward someone who already thinks so much of himself for a prize that even he admits is surprising. Even Barack Hussein Obama, at his when he addressed the public, said that he believes that he doesn't deserve to be in a category with all these great people. That's what he said. He said he was surprised and humbled. But let me explain first, if anyone's not familiar with exactly what a narcissist is. Narcissism means the exaggerated self-admiration or exaggerated self-love. That's a very simple definition. I'm sure we'll get a little bit more into that specifically today. But on today's show, we're going to discuss how dangerous narcissism can be. And specifically, we're going to start this program out discussing, as I said, what it means giving a Nobel Peace Prize to someone who is not known for doing much of anything towards that goal and is believed by many to be a narcissist. Dr. Sam Vaknin is the author of the book Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited. And many consider his work to be the Bible. They consider this book to be the Bible on narcissism. Dr. Sam Vaknin served as a columnist for Global Politicians, Central Europe Review. You can read his work on many other websites such as Mental Health Matters, Mental Health Sanctuary, Mental Health Today, and other publications as well. Vaknin is also a frequent contributor to websites such as selfgrowth.com, where he's an expert on personality disorders. You can go and visit Dr. Sam Vaknin's website while we're doing the show. Check it out. It's at samvak.tripod.com. samvak.tripod.com. Now, Dr. Vaknin recently wrote an article which starts out as follows. Within a single year, Barack Obama had been elected to the presidency of the United States and had won the Nobel Peace Prize. While the merits of the first achievement, becoming president, are debatable, there is a consensus, even among his most ardent supporters, fans, and acolytes, that he absolutely does not deserve the second honor, which is winning the Nobel Prize. What happens to a narcissist? That's just the question. What happens to a narcissist, whom Obama might be, whose grandiose delusions suddenly come true? What are the psychological effects on a narcissist when his fantasies of success and perfection materialize, even though his real-life accomplishments do not warrant such a turn of events and are widely incommensurate with adulatory feedback he keeps getting? It's interesting. So what happens to someone who's fed and perhaps doesn't deserve this feeding? So welcome to the show, Dr. Sam Vaknin, first of all. Nice to have you
on. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Good morning. It's a pleasure. I'm very eager and looking forward to speaking to you about this topic. So after studying the speeches and body language of U.S. President Barack Obama, And you've done this at least 1,000 hours, I think you wrote, and very intense research, you say. You believe that he may have what's called NPD, or Narcissistic Personality Disorder. And now he won the Nobel Peace Prize, which many claim he does not deserve. So how can this manifest itself in a way that could be dangerous to the world and the people that he has power over?
Well, I'll start with the two minor disclaimers. NPD, or Narcissistic Personality Disorder, can be diagnosed only in clinical settings, not from afar and not by remote control. All I can say with growing certainty is that Barack Obama has narcissistic tendencies, clear, pronounced narcissistic traits, and behaves as narcissists do. Second is that Barack Obama cannot be held responsible for the decisions of the committee in Norway. They are not under any political influence. He hasn't interfered or intervened in their decision-making. So it came as a surprise to him, I believe, as it did to many others.
Well, can I stop you for a moment? Because I want to ask you, somebody had this as a... thought this out long before, because in order to be nominated to win this prize, they had to be nominated by the latest, the second week after Barack Hussein Obama was inaugurated as President of the United States. This is only 2 weeks into his presidency. So do you have any idea perhaps what, you know, went on there?
Well, the nomination process for the Nobel Peace Prize involves Norwegian and Swedish parliamentarians, including retired parliamentarians. A person can be recommended for the Peace Prize either by these parliamentarians or by professors of social work, social policy, psychology, anthropology, and so on and so forth. But all of them have to be Scandinavian, I'm afraid, Norwegians or Swedish and so on, or academics from other countries. So I would be very shocked and surprised to learn of any Obama involvement in the process. I don't think he was involved. Okay. However, this Peace Prize is going to be, to have a very pernicious effect, I'm afraid, on his presidency and on what he may do to the world throughout these first 4 years and maybe eight. You see, narcissism, pathological narcissism, is an extreme form of self-delusion. It involves an inflated sense of self. It involves an unrealistic assessment of one's abilities and accomplishments. It involves, to some extent, paranoid delusions. It involves magical thinking. The narcissist believes that it's enough for him to gesture. It's enough for him to think aloud. It's enough for him to express a wish. And the cosmos, the universe, will conform. So this is what we call magical thinking. And so in therapy, one of the first things that the therapist tries to do, narcissistic patient, is to disabuse the patient of these delusions, of this magical thinking, to bring the patient back to reality. Indeed, most narcissists do not attend therapy until they have hit rock bottom. And what does it mean to hit rock bottom? It means to confront reality. It means to come down from the stratosphere back to Earth. And now what happens to a narcissist whose delusions are affirmed and supported by real-life events? Hmm. What happens to a narcissist whose magical thinking, Harry Potter style, suddenly becomes reality? This narcissist loses touch, loses what we call the reality test. This kind of narcissist, whose innermost secret yearnings, wishes, grandiose fantasies, and delusions come true, is rendered even more delusional, even more magically oriented, even less in touch with commonality and reality. And this is a big danger, especially with a powerful person such as Barack Obama. If Barack Obama becomes totally cocooned, totally enmeshed and entangled in his inner, absolutely imaginary, unrealistic perception of himself and of what he can do to the world and the world can do to him, then serious damage may ensue. And this is why I regard this peace prize as particularly dangerous. Not only because Barack Obama does not deserve it, and, well, frankly, he does not deserve it, but because it may exacerbate, it may encourage his pathology.
I'm just trying to think here. So even if it's not his own fault, this winning of the prize could feed into what you're saying, his grandiose delusions about himself, and perhaps he could even believe what some people are saying about him, that he is the one, the Messiah. Do you think that maybe, you know, here in Jerusalem, you can see people sometimes on the Midrachov, on Ben Yehuda Street, who think that they're the Messiah. It's called the Messiah syndrome. Do you think
exactly, but they don't win the Nobel Prize. Yeah.
No, they don't. But do you think it would be easier for him to fall into the Messiah syndrome now that he has?
Well, to use your example, imagine that one such person in the Midrachov in on Ben Yehuda Street does win the Nobel Prize. What is it going to do to such a person? Imagine that one of these delusional homeless people wins the Nobel Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. How this person is going to regard reality? How is he going to conduct himself? What is he going to think about himself? The narcissist has an inner cellular level conviction that some messianic cosmic forces are at work, that he is the center not only of attention but the center of some global historical trends. Every narcissist has this delusion, even the lowliest narcissist, even someone who has no justification whatsoever to think this way, does develop these delusions. But what happens when these delusions are supported, as I said, by real-life events? That's very bad. That means the pathology becomes entrenched. That means such a narcissist can never be cured, can never even be argued with. I mean, if you go and argue with Obama, you tell him, listen, Obama, you are behaving narcissistically, you are overstepping your boundaries, you are overestimating your capabilities and capacities. What is Obama going to say? Obama is going to say, but I am the President of the United States, and I have won the Nobel Peace Prize. What can you say for yourself? I mean, who are you to criticize me? Mm-hmm. So that's the true risk of this prize, in my view.
Could there be a situation where he thinks because he's the president of the United States and he's such a powerful man representing the free world and he's somebody who can perhaps unite different international countries together, that he could say, we want to come and make peace here in Israel, and you have not been listening to us, Israel, and so because you've not been listening to us, and because I'm a man of peace, and I have true intentions to bring some order to this world, we're going to divide Jerusalem up, and we're going to make it fair for people, that's what he'll say, and he'll feel justified doing it because, indeed, of possible narcissism, because he's won the peace prize, so he believes himself to be a man of peace, therefore he can make peace?
Well, because narcissists have an unrealistic assessment of their own capabilities on the one hand and limitations on the other hand, narcissists tend to set unrealistic goals for themselves. They tend to create completely delusional and fantastic agendas. So, for instance, Obama's agenda includes freeing the world of all nuclear weapons. He doesn't go for small reductions, gradual incremental decrease. His goal is all nuclear weapons should be eliminated during his tenure. So that's clearly a totally delusional goal. Yet he pursues it not as an ideal, not as an aspiration. He pursues it as a practical policy. That's a danger, that narcissists confuse their fantasies with reality. They cannot tell the difference. So they are very likely to set completely fantastic goals and agendas and force their environment to conform to these agendas and to accept them and even to applaud and affirm them. So we have seen this example of nuclear free world. And then the other example, a perfect manifestation of magical thinking, was when Obama went to Copenhagen on an unannounced, unscheduled visit to try to convince the Olympic Committee to grant Chicago to run the 2016 Olympics in Chicago. That's what we call magical thinking. Obama believes that if he wants something very badly, if it is his wish, if he expresses it aloud, and if he engages in grand gesture diplomacy, the world, the entire world, not only his family, not only his staff, not only the entire universe will abide, will obey. And now, when such a narcissist is frustrated, when he encounters what we call the grandiosity gap, the gap between the narcissist's self-perception, which is grandiose and inflated, and between reality, which is sometimes not accommodating. So when the narcissist encounters the grandiosity gap, the narcissist tends to rage, tends to lose control, to act out, to become punitive, violent, abusive. And so, yes, Barack Obama is extremely likely to try to impose a peace plan on Israel, and, by the way, on the Palestinians as well. They are both likely to suffer from his wrath and ire in case they don't immediately act on his wishes and demands. So he is likely to try to impose a peace plan. That will be his crowning achievement and confirmation and affirmation of his status as a latter-day figure. And if Israel or the Palestinians, let alone both, do not immediately adopt his blueprint, he is likely to become abusive. What form his abuse will take, we don't know, because we don't know how detached he is from reality and how aware he is of his limitations. But the peace price does not help, because it renders him more detached from reality and less aware of his limitations and more delusional, and therefore a far more dangerous person than he has been only a fortnight ago.
Talking about being a dangerous person, let's put on an imaginary hat right now. And can you give us a worst-case scenario? Just imagine something that, you know, we could be facing with somebody who has the power that he has, if indeed he's a narcissist.
Palestinians as well. Israel is most likely will face sanctions. In all probability, Barack Obama will come up with a blueprint for peace. It will not be an incremental and gradual thing. It will be a grandiose gesture thing. You know, Israel should give up all the occupied territories and in return, have final peace or something like that. It's going to be something completely fantastic, completely divorced from the realities in the field, completely ignorant and oblivious of history, and completely delusional. And now, this blueprint will be presented, in effect, as an ultimatum to both parties. And of course, Israel is in a more precarious position, because it's a stronger party, and it does control the territories, and to some extent, the lives of the Palestinian population, and so on and so forth. And if Israel dares to argue with any substantial point in his plan, I fully believe that he will impose sanctions on Israel. What form these sanctions will take, again, we don't know. We don't know how delusional he is, and how delusional he is becoming as the accolades and the temptations and trappings of power confirm day in and day out that he is the one, that he is the messianic cosmic figure he believes himself to be. That his delusions are not delusions, but realities. That his fantasies can come true. That his magical thinking, that now he has the power to realize his magical thinking. We don't know how sick he is and how sick he is becoming, owing to, well, good wishers such as the Norwegian committee. They thought they were encouraging peace, but in effect, they are encouraging Obama's pathology.
He may think, indeed, that he's in the right place at the right time, and as you said, it's confirming grandiose delusions, perhaps, that he is indeed the one to bring peace to the world, the one that's going to put order in the world the way that he thinks that the world should be in order. We're speaking with Sam Vaknin, Dr. Sam Vaknin, and he's an expert on narcissism. You can go to his website, samvak.tripod.com, and we're going to be taking a break in a few more minutes, but when we get back, you can call in and ask him any questions you have about narcissism and how that affects us as a whole and personally. If you're married to one, if you have a child who's a narcissist, and how you can best protect yourselves and deal with people like this in your life. Maybe you have a boss that's a narcissist. How do you work and get along with these people? So we've established now that this winning of the Nobel Peace Prize, and he himself says he's humbled by it, that he is a surprise to him, and this indeed could feed into to grandiose delusions that he may have of himself, and it could be dangerous to us. How do you tie in the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, and he's the commander in chief, he's telling these soldiers what to do, he's deciding how many soldiers will go there, and do you think this is dangerous to the American people as well, and how he handles these wars?
Narcissists are cowards. They're cowards because they are bullies and abusers themselves. And they know what effect abuse and bullying can have on one. So they're cowards. Barack Obama's policies are fancy footwork around appeasement. He's an appeaser. Classic one, by the way. There's absolutely nothing new in his policies. He's an appeaser. As an appeaser, he would seek to withdraw troops. He would seek to avoid very difficult decisions, for instance, troop increase in Afghanistan or militarily attacking Iran or whatever. He would seek to avoid difficult decisions. He would seek to team up with bullies because he's afraid of them. North Korea, Iran, and similar countries are actually bullies. They are bullies writ large. They are, you know, state-sized bullies, but they're bullies. And in the schoolyard, in the family, in the workplace, and in the international arena, there's a variety of reactive patterns to bullies. And one of the most famous reactive patterns is the submissive or accommodative reactive pattern, which is Obama's. Obama, rather than confront and rather than conflict, seeks to avoid, seeks to appease, and finally to team up. That's why narcissists, even the best-intentioned ones, even the narcissists ultimately find themselves involved with criminals, involved with criminal regimes, involved with a less savory side and characters of life, because they try to avoid confrontation and conflict. So there's nothing new about Obama's agenda. The only difference is that because I believe Obama to be a narcissist, I think his ideas are far-flung. I think his agenda is unrealistic.
All right, let's hold it right there. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with Dr. Sam Vaknin. You can go to his website in the meantime during the break and check it out, samvak.tripod.com. And when we get back, we'll take your calls, 1-800-270-4288. That's a free phone call for all of our listeners in the United States, Canada, and Israel. We're going to learn about narcissism, how it affects us in our personal relationships as well. Call in.
Okay, I'm sitting next to Akiva in the airplane. Akiva, how old are you?
Almost 7.
What are you doing on this airplane?
I'm going to Israel. I'm moving there to live there and never come back to America.
How do you feel about that?
I feel happy.
Why?
Because I have a lot of relatives.
What about Israel versus America? What country do you like better?
Israel.
Why is that?
Because it's beautifuler.
That's Yishai Friends, live on Israel National Radio.
Thank you.
If you love Israel and you're coming to the Holy Land, you need Israel's best tour guide. See Israel like you've never seen it before. Mayor Eisenman will take you around the country for an educational and fun experience. Each tourist gets a personally designed tour. The land of the Bible, the land of the Tanakh, comes alive in the hands of an energetic and experienced tour guide. Visit IsraelByMayor.com. That's Israel by Mayor, M-E-I-R, or email him directly at IsraelByMayor@gmail.com.
Now, the only independent news talk network in the Middle East, Israel National Radio and IsraelNationalRadio.com present The Tamar Yonah Show. Here's Tamar Yonah.
All right, our guest is Dr. Sam Vakning, and he is the author of the book Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited. People who have read this book claim that it is the Bible on narcissism. Now, Dr. Vakning is here with us today. He's answering questions on what it is, what narcissism is, how it can affect us, and it doesn't only affect famous people. It could be someone that you are married to, someone that you are raising, someone that you work for. And we'll try to answer questions on these topics as well. What you have when you are living somehow in your life, you have a narcissist involved in your life. What is narcissist? How can you tell if someone's a narcissist? What tips can he give you? We're going to ask him that. Also, abusers, stalkers, and bullies even. These are some of the questions we're going to ask him on this segment of the show, and you're invited to call in. Our toll-free number, 1-800-270-4288, 1-800-270-4288. Let's go to Oklahoma, the occupied territories of Oklahoma. We have joining us Yitzhak. Hi there, Yitzhak.
Hello, Tamar. How are you?
Or Crockett, as you say. Yes.
Yes. Or Blue Rock, or, well, I could come up with all kinds of names. I'm tripolar.
Okay. What's your question for Dr. Sam Vakning?
Tamar, first of all, I just have a real quick question, but I did want to say if Allison Jew of the city is listening, I wanted to thank her and her husband for what they've done for me and my wife and our marriage. And
okay, that's a passus I had in the show. Thank you. Go ahead.
And, yes, and I just wanted to ask, I've never heard of narcissism before. Is this a current mental condition that people are diagnosed with that are in mental institutions, et cetera?
Okay, Dr. Vakning, can you answer that?
Yes. Pathological narcissism is a mental health diagnosis. It is a part of the diagnostic and statistical manual published by the American Psychiatric Association. The latest edition is the year 2000. There's a new one coming shortly. And it is one of a group of personality disorders known as Cluster B, which also includes the borderline personality disorder, the antisocial or psychopathic personality disorder, and the histrionic personality disorder. Now, personality disorders are not the kind of mental illnesses that require commitment to an asylum or a home. They are all-pervasive. They disturb the patient's functioning. They are pernicious. They lead to dysfunctions in a variety of fields, in interpersonal relationships, family relationships, the workplace, and so on and so forth. But they are not, strictly speaking, a mental illness. Therefore, they are called disorders. Now, the narcissist. To identify a narcissist, one should look for a few signs. First of all, narcissists lack empathy. They're unable to put themselves in other people's shoes. They tend to ignore other people's preferences, wishes, priorities, and so on and so forth. Additionally, narcissists are unable to relate to other people as full-fledged human beings. They treat them as cardboard cutouts. They use other people as instruments of gratification. Narcissists are very exploitative. Narcissists rage when they are frustrated. Narcissists have a delusional perception of themselves. They have a grandiose fantasy about their own self-worth. They believe in some kind of cosmic messianic, that they have some kind of cosmic messianic assignment or role in the world. So if you see a combination of these behaviors and traits in a person, that person most likely has narcissistic traits. Now, narcissistic personality disorder is the extreme pathology, is the extreme end of the spectrum. All of us have narcissistic traits, of course. But the question is, to which extent these traits interfere with functioning, proper functioning in the real world, to which extent these traits and behaviors ruin relationships, render one ineffective in coping with the world. And this is where NPD, or narcissistic personality disorder, comes in. The narcissist is actually in distress, although no narcissist will admit it. Narcissists are always the best, most perfect, most brilliant, richest, most powerful, most deserving. Narcissists have a very strong sense of entitlement. So narcissists will never come out and say, I'm in trouble because something's wrong with me. Narcissists is likely to say, I'm in trouble because something's wrong with the world. We call it alloplastic defenses. Narcissists tend to blame the universe, the world, their neighbors, their friends, their colleagues, their family, for
their
anything
wife.
Bad or unfortunate mm-hmm. that happens to them.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's go to Dan in Jerusalem. And again, the number is 1-800-270-4288. Dan from the beautiful city, actually from Herzliya, the beautiful city of Herzliya. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Booker Tov. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
It always struck me, and after this Nobel Prize, that Obama is kind of a puppet with powerful people like George Soros behind him. How would that, do you think that is so? And if so, how does that relate to his narcissism?
All big democracies have been rendered plutocracies, have been rendered puppet states of the rich and powerful. And that's because electioneering requires enormous resources, and these resources can only come from the rich and powerful. So you talk plutocracy, you have plutocracy in the United Kingdom, in France, and of course in the United States, where money talks. So yes, I would assume that there are special interest groups and so on that are influencing Obama. But if these people believe that Obama is their puppet, they are in for a rude awakening. Narcissists are very good actors. They have huge thespian skills. They can manipulate and deceive everyone around them for a very, very long time. But narcissists are their own people. You cannot truly influence a narcissist's delusional thinking, divert a narcissist from his cosmic messianic role. You cannot really control a narcissist. I will mention Adolf Hitler, but of course no comparison is intended. Obama did not give us hitherto any reason, even remote reason, to compare him to Adolf Hitler.
Right.
But Adolf Hitler was, according to Eric Fromm, was a malignant narcissist. And everyone thought at the very beginning that Adolf Hitler was a puppet. The rich industrialists who supported Adolf Hitler, the conservatives in government who supported Adolf Hitler, all of them believed that Hitler was a nobody, that they will place him in power as a placeholder, and then manipulate Adolf Hitler as a puppet. And we all know how this ended. You cannot control a narcissist. You cannot collaborate with a narcissist. Narcissists do not recognize peers. They are unique. They are the ones and only ones. They need you. They use you. They put a smiling face at you. You are a source of narcissistic supply. You will be idealized. But once they are in power, they are in power. Your role is finished. You will be discarded and devalued.
Let me ask you a question, and maybe it's not a professional opinion, but just from your gut feeling, how do you see the relationship between the president and the first lady?
Well, if Barack Obama is a narcissist, and again, he has not been diagnosed formally, if he is a narcissist, then he has a relationship of convenience with the first lady, what we call a source of narcissistic supply relationship. The role of the spouse in the narcissist's life is dual. One is to supply the narcissist with what we call narcissistic supply. That means adulation, affirmation, adoration, or any other form of attention on a constant basis. And the second thing is to store, to sort of safekeep past experiences, past grandiose moments in the narcissist's life, and to reflect these moments back at the narcissist when things are tough. So it's sort of emotional, distorted emotional support. Such a spouse would say to the narcissist,
but do you remember how great you were in this and this event? Or so this is the reflective sort of role.
Mm.
And
so who do you think wears the pants in that family, though?
Well, there is a possibility, of course, that both of them are narcissists. We know that narcissists bond together to achieve specific goals and roles, and that these partnerships can be very long-term. But assuming that Michelle Obama is not a narcissist, then Obama is wearing the pants. Don't make any mistake about it. Narcissists can come across as effete. They can come across as nice and cuddly and friendly, but they are not. They are in full and absolute control. Everyone around them is a satellite. They may camouflage this. For instance, when Obama was asked for his reaction on getting the Nobel Peace Prize, he said, "I'm humbled."
Mm-hmm.
This is what we call false modesty. The narcissist very often acts as though he is modest. This is in order to elicit reactions from the environment so that people tell him, but Mr. President, you do deserve the Peace Prize. You are doing great things. You are wonderful. So this is his reaction was classical narcissistic reaction. We call it false modesty. I even have a chapter in the book on this type of reaction. So if Barack Obama is a narcissist, he is wearing the pants both in the administration and at home and everywhere he goes. And anyone who thinks otherwise is making a serious mistake and will pay for it dearly.
Keith from Florida is asking me to ask you, do narcissists often use guile and subterfuge in order to get what they want, or do they only do it to fulfill their fantasies of greatness?
Narcissists are very, as I said, they are good actors. They have thespian skills, and they are very, very deceptive. There is a variant of narcissist called the psychopathic narcissist, and that narcissist uses guile and deception and lies on a regular basis, even I would say pathological basis, as the main strategy of obtaining narcissistic supply and affirming his inflated self and grandiose fantasies. But most narcissists resort to these instruments only in times of need. You see, many narcissists have truly magnetic and charismatic personalities. Many of them are truly hyper-intelligent. Many of them are endowed and gifted in the true sense of the word. They put these gifts and endowments to use in coercing their environment into accepting the narrative. They invent a fictional story about themselves, their role in the world, their skills, their capacities, their future, and so on and so forth. And they force the environment to accept this narrative, to conform to it, by being charming, intelligent, by proving prescient, acting in certain ways, and so on. So lying, yes. Deception, yes. But in extreme cases, in times of need.
You write on your website, and again, his website, samvac.tripod.com, you write about narcissists also able to be abusers, stalkers, and bullies. So what happens if you're married to a man or a woman who's a narcissist, or you have a child, or you have a boss and you have to work with them daily, or you have somebody, God forbid, even stalking you? What are the tips to know whether you're really dealing with a narcissist, and two, how do you deal with it?
Well, in one of my previous answers on this show, I described a narcissist, and you should look out for these signs. Of course, narcissistic personality disorder can be only diagnosed by a professional. There's no other way. But if you see an agglomeration, accumulation of such behaviors and traits, lack of empathy, exploitativeness, grandiose fantasies, sense of entitlement, rages, and totally ignoring your needs, your preferences, your wishes, and your priorities, treating you as an instrument of gratification, a two-dimensional cardboard cutout, then you are most likely in a relationship with someone who has a narcissistic style or
personality, if not a full-fledged disorder. And my advice is unambiguous and unequivocal and very short. Get out. You cannot save the narcissist. You cannot transform the narcissist. You cannot accommodate the narcissist. You cannot collaborate with narcissists, let alone control the narcissist. There is nothing you can do with the narcissist that the narcissist does not want done. You are extension. You are a mere reflection to the narcissist. You are absolutely interchangeable. You are absolutely non-existent in many senses of the word. So if you are in such a relationship, including in the workplace, simply get out. There is no known strategy or tactic of successfully coping with a narcissist in the long term.
What is a megalomaniac? Is that how you say it? Megalomania?
That's the old term. That's a 19th century term for what we today diagnose as narcissistic personality disorder. It's an element in narcissism, the grandiose fantasy, grandiose self-perception, the inflated self.
Someone is also asking here, how does this fit with, if indeed he is a narcissist, Obama, how does it fit with him not releasing his birth certificate?
Well, assuming, of course, that there is a birth certificate to be released and so on and so forth, Obama may have built his entire presidency on a series of misrepresentations and lies. This is very common with narcissists. Narcissists invent a biography, many of them invent a biography, and this fictional biography is tailored to support the narcissist's claims for fame, for power, for brilliance, for perfection, and his demands for narcissistic supply. All the elements in this biography are interlinked, and if you take out one stone, the entire edifice usually crumbles. It's very dangerous to subject a narcissist's biography to scrutiny. As far as the narcissist is concerned, his biography should be above suspicion. So narcissists are very, very defensive, even aggressively defensive, when they are confronted with discrepancies in the narrative of their life, when they are confronted with lies they have told or deceptions they have perpetrated. They're very, very violently and aggressively defensive. They tend to castigate the questioner. They tend to attack those who doubt them.
Do you see any other leading people in the world today that we need to be leery of that are narcissists today? Anyone else? I mean, in order to be a great leader or a strong and powerful leader, not necessarily positive in a positive way, but in any way, do you have to be a narcissist? And if so, who are other narcissists today who are leading the world?
Well, normally narcissists, pathological narcissists, gravitate towards certain professions where they are likely to receive a constant stream of attention, where their grandiose or inflated self is likely to be supported by external evidence, for instance, by the adulation of their nearest, dearest, and closest. So they gravitate to professions where they have an inordinate influence on the lives of others, because narcissists are also power-addicted. So you can find narcissists in the clergy, among the clergy. You can find narcissists in the police force. You can find them in the army. And, of course, in politics and in show business and among psychiatrists, and wherever a single individual can and does exert power over the lives and destinies of others, you are likely to find narcissists disproportionately, overly represented. And so it is among politicians. But again, narcissism is a spectrum. We all possess healthy narcissism. We all believe that we are worth something. We all have a modicum of self-love. We all strive to further our goals and have ambition. These are all narcissistic traits, but this is healthy narcissism. And then you have narcissistic style or narcissistic traits. These are, you know, more pronounced traits, but they're not so dangerous to the environment. And then at the very end, you have narcissistic personality disorder. Now, Obama, I suspect, is closer to the pathological pole, to the other end of the spectrum. And you have other leaders, like Putin and so on, who are also pronounced, in a pronounced way, pathological.
But I think currently on the world scene, no one comes close to Obama as far as narcissism goes.
Interesting. That's very interesting. All right, we only have another minute or so left. How would you like to sum up the show? What should, what can people do now to watch Obama that, God forbid, he shouldn't do anything that could endanger, you know, people?
I would generalize it. We live in a narcissistic society. It's a society and culture that reward narcissistic behaviors and traits. We are all in a state of self-adulation and self-love to this or to that extent. Watch out. Narcissists and sociopaths and psychopaths are all over the place. They are your neighbors, they are your colleagues, they are your friends. Be vigil, be aware, and avoid them as much as you can.
It's kind of hard to avoid the President of the United States if he's a narcissist.
That's why we're having this show. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. I want to thank you very, very much for joining us and giving us a little bit of background and what we should watch out for and how it could, God forbid, hurt us or affect us, I should say, in a possible negative way, especially for Israel and for people coming in and trying to impose their peace treaties and peace on us, making us give up more, make more concessions, goodwill gestures, give up land that affects our security. And we're talking about a life and death situation, so this really is very important. And I want to thank you for pointing these things out. And I'm sure a lot of us think that, you know, we're hoping that he's not a narcissist, but it seems like this could very well be true, as you believe that it's possible, and we'll have to watch out for it. So thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Sam Bakhti.
Thank you again. Have a good day there.
You too. Thank you very much for joining us. It was a pleasure and very interesting to hear. And again, anyone who wants to know more about this, they can go to his website. It's samvak.tripod.com, samvak.tripod.com, and you can also write him. There's an address there. If not, you can always email me, and I'll forward any emails to Dr. Vaknin. And I'm going to be back in a little bit later. I guess tomorrow, if you're overseas, it'll be 4 p.m. your time, because we moved our clocks an hour back, and you have not yet. So we are, all of our shows are on an hour later by you. And I'm going to be back with Tovia this evening, Israel time, or 4 p.m. overseas time in the West. Thanks for being with us. Keep your eyes open. Take the knowledge you've learned and use it for the good. Thanks for being with us.
Oi, we're late to the airport, Harvey. If only I had called Menashe Sofer's airport service.
Cut down on time at the airport. Introducing the ultimate airport experience by Menashe Sofer's airport service. The VIP meet and assist shuttle guarantees a completely stress-free traveling experience. Tell them you heard about it here at Israel National Radio. Online at msoferairport.com. M-S-O-P-H-E-R airport.com.
Mikvahcalendar.com is your rabbinically approved personal guide to Tarat HaMishpacha observance. Now, keeping the mitzvahs easier than ever before with your very own online mikvah calendar. Times and dates are automatically calculated and explained in English and Hebrew. You have the option to customize your mikvah calendar according to Ashkenazi, Sephardic, or Chabad customs. Receive email or text messages for important dates and times. Visit mikvahcalendar.com to start your online calendar. That's M-I-K-V-A-H calendar.com.